Lynette McKenzie is on a mission to raise the resonance of the listeners, inspire them to heal their wounds, and live their passion. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, Radio for Your Body and Soul, features renowned healers, teachers, and change agents who are leading the way in advancement in the areas of sex, spirit, finding your purpose, living your passion, and befriending your body. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, Radio for Your Body and Soul will enliven you, give you hope, expand your mind, and put the sparkle in your eyes. This talk radio show addresses serious issues while remaining lighthearted and fun. Lynette is masterful at combining humor and energy-raising techniques to give listeners an instant energetic boost and a heartfelt smile. If you're ready to open to ecstasy and expand your mind, tune on and get live with Lynette. Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to openingtoecstasy.com or openlivenow.com. And now here's your host, Lynette McKenzie.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lynette McKenzie, and you're listening to Opening to Ecstasy on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and we'll lead you to a deeper connection to your body and soul. Each Friday on Opening to Ecstasy, we'll have some of the most gifted healers, coaches, authors, and agents of change help you in your life. Are you struggling with financial issues? Is money ruining your life? If so, you're about to be enlightened. Our guest today, Tim Covey, is a financial healer who's worked with Fortune 500 companies, women entrepreneurs, and individuals. Her focus is helping her clients to change their relationship with money. An intuitive powerhouse, she combines decades of practical financial expertise with the strength of personal development to help her clients get past their fears and make more money with ease. From experience, I know that Tim takes complicated money issues and makes them clear and simple, and believe it or not, even fun. She makes you think, and she makes you laugh. She's brilliant, and she comes from the heart. Let's welcome Tim to our show. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Lynette. Thank you so much for having me join you today. I'm really looking forward to this.
Thanks for being here. So, to begin, what does it mean to be a financial healer?
Well, it's been kind of an evolution for me. It's a fairly new adventure for me to call myself that. However, what that means is that I get to work with people and help them change the way they relate to money. Because, there's Susie Orman. There's so many different people out there who are willing to give you financial information and financial advice. And it doesn't make any difference if you won't actually take it. So we all have our ways of doing things, our habits, our kind of default mechanisms of relating to all sorts of different things in our lives, and money's not any different. And so if you have a negative habit or a slightly skewed perspective or an issue around money, which frankly we all do, we all have our own separate issues, if you have that and someone gives you some information, you're probably not going to actually use it. You're going to continue to do the thing that you've always done that causes you problems. And so my job as a financial healer is to help you become aware of what the thing is that you're doing to yourself, and then help you shift it so that you can heal that pain and that problem that you're creating and do things differently so you get to have what you want in your life.
That's fabulous. And I know from working with you a little bit myself that you have a lot of skills for helping people, besides the fact that, I was going to say a word that we can't say on the radio.
Now I want to know which word it was. How fun.
You have a direct approach that's also funny and compassionate. So,
thank you, Lynette.
That wasn't the term that came to me immediately. But
yeah, we'll censor that. Good plan. Direct, yes, I'm direct. We'll call that direct.
But yes, you're highly trained, plus you have a personality that works really well with this. So.
Thank you.
So how did you become a financial healer?
Well, like I kind of alluded to earlier, it was a bit of a challenge for me. You know, I have a bachelor's degree in finance, and I worked in corporate America for a really long time and did consulting with Fortune 500 companies, and I'm used to being in a corporate environment with suits and, you know, calling yourself an intuitive and the healer. It's not something new there, you know. So I actually... one of the ways that I run my life is connecting to the universe and getting direction and the directions to me to work with a wonderful pair of healers, which is actually where I met you, Lynette, Dr. Kirk Prine and Donnie LaBrie. And in working with them, you know, they're healers, and I'm surrounded by healers, and, you know, they're like, wow, it doesn't say anything about healer on your website. I'm like, really? It's not going to. That's weird. No, can't do that. Oh. And so I've been, I was in denial for a while. You know, I am a very intuitive person, and that's always worked for me very well in the coaching I've done over the last probably 5 or 6 years. And I didn't actually connect that in my own head, that's what I do, that's who I am, that's how I serve. So it's really only been in the last year that I got to admitting in public that I'm a financial healer. So that's kind of how that happened, with the help of a very loving, healing community. I came to that awareness, and then there's been such a great response as people, you know, now that I'm willing to admit that in public. I was like, oh, you mean you can heal that? Cool. So I'm having a really good time sharing that gift.
So before you called yourself a financial healer, I know that you're accounting, but what was it you're calling yourself? And what were you doing?
I'm a money coach and a business systems expert. I'm also that, but it sounds kind of, it's not actually very me. I'm definitely those things. However, it doesn't really get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, when I met you, the first thing I noticed was how powerfully intuitive you are.
Thank you. That's funny. Yeah, that like I don't remember frequently that other people are processing me that way. You know, it's been a really great experience for me to own the fact that yes, I'm a financial healer and go there, because I mean that is my gift and that is who I am and the biggest service I have to give to the world. So it's been just a joy to get to help this way.
Yeah, and you're excellent at it. I'm grateful that you're doing the service. And just as a note to you, from across the room before you even spoke, it was really obvious that you were a powerful healer.
Denial. That was me, really. Denial. So thank you.
So from your perspective, how do you think people are feeling in the current economic climate today? I know that a lot of people are really freaking out. So what's your perspective on that?
There's some pretty varied responses, actually. They seem to have pretty much the commonality of admitting that the economy is a disaster and really connecting with that and then choosing what sort of actions you're going to take as a result. So people are planning their path from disaster. I would say that's pretty common. Some people are able to find light in that. I was talking to a gentleman last night who was really actually very grateful for the last few years. He's an entrepreneur. His business has been challenged, and he's been challenged, and he's really downsized and simplified his life and created space for him to spend more time with himself and get more connected with who he is and what's important to him and fulfill more of his inner needs. And so some people are actually taking it and going to a really helpful, useful place with it. He's the exception. I have not heard that from the vast majority of people I talk to. So really there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of judgment, self-judgment primarily, and people not being happy about where they're at, not being comfortable with where they're at, and most importantly, determining their self-worth based on what's going on with their money, and who you are, and how much money you have, and who you are, and how much debt you have, and who you are and what your credit score is, they have nothing to do with each other. Who you are is the same. The value of who you are is the same, independent of all those factors. And that's really hard for people to remember right now.
So you think that because there's this collective consciousness of panic that people are identifying with money more than they did before there was this level of panic?
I think there's more focus. I think people did and continue to value themselves based on their money situation. I don't think that that's necessarily different. I just think that the constant conversation of the economy, the economy, the economy is bringing more focus to it and more attention to an already existing problem.
That's true. That's true. I was just having a conversation with someone this morning. They were pointing out something that I needed to be reminded of, and that was, when you're focusing on the problem, that's what you get more of. And certainly that's what we're hearing, you know, in the news is all problem and fear focused.
Right. Very, very much so.
So before we go any further, I want to make sure people know how to contact you. Could you give your contact information?
Sure. The name of my website is Money Courage. I am at moneycourage.com. And if you needed to email me directly, my email address is wealth@moneycourage.com. I'd like people to think about the word wealth and recognize how much wealth you already have. So that's why I picked my email address.
That works for me, and that's a wonderful thing to be reminded of. I appreciate that very much. We've just got a moment here before we go into break, and actually just a minute. Is there one last thought you want to leave the listeners for the 2 minutes of break?
Absolutely. Really, the main thing that I want to get into next is an Albert Einstein quote, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is insanity. And so I'd like to help people stop their money insanity.
Great. You're listening to Opening to Ecstasy Live with Lynette. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, Tim will share with us how to stop our financial insanity. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Lynette McKenzie is on a mission to raise the resonance of the listeners, inspire them to heal their wounds, and live their passion. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, radio for your body and soul, features renowned healers, teachers, and change agents who are leading the way in advanced thought in the areas of sex, spirit, finding your purpose, living your passion, and befriending your body. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette. Radio for your body and soul will enliven you, give you hope, expand your mind, and put the sparkle in your eyes. This talk radio show addresses serious issues while remaining lighthearted and fun. Lynette is masterful at combining humor and energy-raising techniques to give listeners an instant energetic boost and a heartfelt smile. If you're ready to open to ecstasy and expand your mind, tune in, tune on, and get live with Lynette 5 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, go to OpeningToEcstasy.com or OpenLiveNow.com.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. That relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the intestine, and it is an effort to go through our day. With CRA, we are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
We're back on Opening to Ecstasy with Lynette McKenzie. You can find me at OpenLiveNow.com. My guest today is financial healer Tim Covey. So we left off, you had the wonderful quote from Albert Einstein that insanity is repeating the same, I don't actually have it down. But repeating okay. Something that's not working.
I'm sitting in front of my computer and I pulled it up from brainyquote.com, so no worries, I can cheat. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah, and I'd heard that through Alcoholics Anonymous, and I know that Albert Einstein is attributed with all sorts of quotes that supposedly he didn't really say, but I like him, so let's just say he said it. I don't know if he really did, but it's
it
a great quote.
It works for me, too. I have no idea if he said it, but I like all the things he purportedly said, so I'm going to lump them together and think the man's wonderful.
Even if he didn't say, I'm sure he'd like it. So.
Yeah.
So from that, keeping that in mind, this definition of insanity, how do you deal with the economy and money? We're talking about the fear that other people, that most people are going through right now. What's your take on it personally for yourself?
Well, I mean, as far as it goes, you know, my feeling is that most people tend to avoid their money on one way or another. Some people will avoid looking at it. Some people will avoid thinking about it. Some people will avoid admitting they have it if they have money. You know, some of the people who have money right now are having a hard time because there are so many people who don't have money that are talking so loudly about not having money that they feel guilty. So there's all sorts of crazy things going on. And a lot of it revolves around avoidance. You know, if there's a bill and you think you can't pay it, you just avoid it. You put it in a drawer and you don't think about it and don't deal with it. So people have this real strong tendency to avoid interacting with their money. Whereas with the economy, people will talk about the economy and what a disaster it is all day long. Like, this is a problem, that's a problem. I personally don't have a TV, and I don't watch TV on the Internet either. I know it's out there somewhere. I don't watch that, and I'm really careful about what kind of news I'm willing to engage in. So I don't have the same economy experience most people have. But I know that for the majority of the country, the economy conversation goes on constantly, whether it's, you know, at work, at home, on the news, on the television, everywhere you go, people are talking about the economy in line at the grocery store. So really for me, my bottom line is that needs to switch. You need to stop talking about the economy, disengage completely from what's going on with the economy, and actually get engaged in your own money. Because that's really what will give you the power to change. And avoiding your money doesn't work. You know, if you have a bill and it's due and you don't talk to anybody and you don't do anything, you know, if it's your electricity, it'll get shut off. It's your phone, it'll get shut off. It's a car, it'll get repoed. Ignoring things doesn't work in the context of dealing with your own personal space. In the context of choosing to not get involved in someone else's drama, ignoring things works really good. You know, I have a lot less economy stress than most people, not because I have so much money, because I don't really spend that much time thinking about it. Because I frankly don't care. There's nothing that's going to change in my life from today till tomorrow. If today they made an announcement that the economy is now perfect and everything is fine, nothing's actually going to change in my life from today till tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything different. I'm not going to magically have more money. I'm not going to magically have less money. My bills aren't going to pay themselves. Nothing's actually going to change in my life if somebody on CNN says something about the economy. So I just don't pay attention to that because I don't care. Now, there are times and places where decisions that you're making for your financial welfare are related to what's going on with the economy, then, hey, yeah, plug in, check in, find out what's going on. But, I mean, if you've got a paycheck coming in and you're paying your bills every day, not so much changing there, you know, especially since a lot of people aren't involved in complicated high-end investments that are really time-sensitive and based upon the constant fluctuations of what's going on in the economy. There's really no reason to get so attached to that. So that was the main thing I would say, as far as that goes, is just reverse that dynamic. Disengage with the economy and really pay attention to what's going on with you and your money.
That makes a lot of sense. I must say that when you're talking about people being in denial or avoidance with their money issues, I did feel a little cringe inside of myself there.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's that cringing, and then there's that I don't want to think about it, and then there's that, oh, this makes me a bad person because my money is X, Y, or Z. I haven't paid this bill. I only made this much money. There's this self-judgment that goes on that's really brutal, and it doesn't help anything. No one's going to make more money because they were mean to themselves this morning. It's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. So, I noticed that I've had, I guess I'd call it shame issues with money, and I've noticed that a lot of people have that. There's a lot of people where, it, you know, it's absolutely not okay to talk about you know, as you said, you can talk about the economy, but they won't talk about their own personal finances or deal with it to the point where they would become very emotionally upset when something confronts them with their financial issues. I hadn't thought of it that way, and I certainly had not thought of flipping the two, as you just suggested.
Now, we have a lot of really psychotic ways of dealing with money in our society. It's just really kind of weird. You know, while you're talking about that, I was thinking of, I have this thing in my head, and it just drives me crazy, and I haven't got it worked out, and I don't really understand what the underlying thing is yet. But I noticed that, like you were saying, like, no one wants to talk about the actual number of how much money they make in public. Like, that's a big no-no. That's like, I think it's like the last really big taboo in our society. I mean, you know, porn's all over the internet. That's fine. But no one's out on the internet posting how much money they made last year. I mean, okay, there are if they're trying to sell you something and they're trying to prove that they're wonderful and you should buy things from them. You know, but just on a general personal basis, people aren't doing that. There's a complete unwillingness to disclose that part of your life.
Why do you think that people are feeling shame around that? Around money?
I mean, we have a really consumer-based society and a very, we value a lot of things based on the numbers of, and I mean, and that's why, kind of why I think we're really so psychotic. It's kind of schizophrenic, actually, because we value so much the idea of making money and having the lifestyle, really, is where the value is placed on. You know, democracy and capitalism and the American dream and all this kind of fun stuff, but then nobody wants to talk about numbers. And those things actually go together, you know? So it's like, why are we disconnected from one but not the other? Like, what is our hang-up? And I think a lot of that goes back to self-judgment. A lot of people look at, it's perspective. People look at their neighbors and think, okay, they got a new car. You know, they're living in a nice house. They bought a new this. They bought a new that. You know, everything in their life must be wonderful because they bought two new things this year. And because I didn't buy two new things, I'm not wonderful, my life isn't wonderful, and I'm a disaster, and it's a secret that I have to hide from people what a disaster I am. Because if anybody knew, they would think I'm a horrible person. Except for everyone's doing it. Because no matter how much money you have, there's someone else to compare yourself to. You know, I mean, definitely, there's some people who have millions and billions of dollars and are not having that particular thought process, but there's probably, I don't know, 2,000 of them on the planet compared to the 6 or 7 billion of the rest of us. You know, this judgment thing is just out of control. I mean, and that's what I think the real issue is the self-judgment and the self-worth based upon the numbers and the money and the perception, really, of success.
That makes a lot of sense. I was going to ask you what the biggest money challenge is for most people, but you might have already answered that, or would you have a different answer to that specific question?
The biggest money challenge? I do think it is pretty much that. Between that and the avoidance, you know, the self-judgment. And they really tie together. It's really that people want to avoid their money situation because they're afraid of, because they know that they'll judge themselves more if they have to actually look at what's going on, and they're afraid that if anyone else finds out that they'll be judged as well. So that whole cycle, I would say, is the biggest challenge. Because while you're thinking about that, you're not fixing anything. You're not making more money. You're not finding solutions. You're not changing what you're doing. You're just sitting there freaking out.
Yes, and certainly if you're hiding it, you're not thinking of solutions.
No, and it takes a lot of energy. Going through that process of being stressed out and judging yourself and worrying about other people judging you and hiding everything, that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. And with, like, a very small piece of all of that energy, you could have come up with the solution.
Yeah, there's not really any energy left for setting a goal if you don't know, if you can't, if you're going to plan a trip, you have to know where you are to begin with.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But I mean, a lot of times, to get into some of the nitty gritty things of what people can do, you know, the best thing to do when you're having a money problem is communicate with people. And that's the last thing anyone wants to do when they're in that cycle. but it doesn't matter if it's your credit cards or if it's your family. You know, talking to people about this is what's going on with me and this is where I'm at, now what? People will give you suggestions. People will offer to help you. People will tell you about something that they know that you don't know that can lead to a solution and can actually fix your problem, as opposed to, I mean, not that I'm against setting goals. That's absolutely useful. But setting a goal and solving a problem are two different things. And setting a goal to make more money is lovely, but solving the problem of, I need to pay this bill right now, what do I do? Setting a goal for making money next month isn't actually going to pay your bill today.
Fabulous. And on that note, we're going to head on to a break. I'm Lynette McKenzie, and you're listening to Opening to Ecstasy Radio for your body and soul. When we return, Tim will tell us how to keep our finances from ruining our lives. And you don't want to miss this. This is really important for us to listen to. I'm being a little more subdued today because I'm processing all this myself. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. CRA, Contact Reflex Analysis, is an energy assessment which translates human energy into information. This information provides me with the ability to identify your needs as a healer and to design a specific solution for you. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com. Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. With CRA, I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Neshama Living, where your optimal health begins with awareness, grows with knowledge, flourishes with proactive solutions, and is practiced as a way of life. Neshama Living is dedicated to wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. The Neshama Living Hour is coming to the Dr. Pat Show. Get ready to regain your natural balance, take control of your health and vitality, and build your foundation for wellness with Neshama Living on the Dr. Pat Show.
Purnu Yoga Centers provides an integrated yoga experience that encourages health, relaxation, and the inner pursuit of purpose without pretense through the natural connection of the body, mind, and spirit. Whether you are looking to yoga for exercise, improve your health, use yoga and meditation as a means of self-discovery, or learn how to teach yoga, our inspired instruction and supportive community will help you accomplish your goals. For more information, visit yogacenters.com. That's yogacenters.com.
We're back on Opening to Ecstasy Live with Lynette. Today I have financial healer Tim Covey sharing with us how to live money stress-free. And she was just talking to us about the importance of communicating about money, that so many of us go into avoidance and don't even look at our own financial issue. We'll talk about the economy and have fear about that and then avoid our own personal finances. So, Tim, since Is Money Ruining Your Life is a topic for today's show, and you've been talking about this, but can we go a little deeper into how money can ruin your life and how to prevent this from happening?
Oh, absolutely. And it does will tie back to what we were just talking about in terms of communication and going forward on how to keep money from ruining your life. But, I mean, really the bottom line is that people make decisions about their life based on money. People will decide whether they should have children based on money. People will decide what their children can have in life based on how much money they have. People will decide whether they're allowed to pursue their dreams based on how much money they have. Or not even, sometimes it's those same decisions and it's not even how much money they have. They may have money. They may have money in the bank. They may have savings. They may have what to someone else may look like security, but they feel like they don't have enough to have permission to have their life the way they want it. And that's really my mission is to help people understand the power that they have in their own lives and that they're more important than money. And that what will allow you to create the life you want is you making decisions because you want to, not because you think your money situation will allow you to have a certain type of life. And I'm not saying you should go out and get in debt and run your credit cards up so you can have whatever you want. I'm talking about being able to powerfully make decisions that will allow you to create the things you need in order to have the life you want. So that's really my issue with people ruining their lives about money. It's like, oh, you know, you want six kids and you only have two because you think you can't afford more children. And that horrifies me. So
I'm laughing because there's someone in town that I've known for about 20 years that has a bumper sticker that says, thank you for not reproducing, because he's been to zero global population growth. So he'd be horrified.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, have more kids. You know, that's fine. Or, you know, like living where you want, having, there's so many, especially like artists, you know, this is the whole thing in our society about starving artists, and it happens a lot with healers too in terms of giving yourself permission to create money without starving yourself to death. So it's kind of like this choice of have money or pursue your passion. You can't really do both. So those kind of decisions that people make in favor of money and stability versus the life that they really want to have.
So you're talking about a limited view of the world based on fear around money.
Yeah.
That's seeing everything through the filter of, can I have this or not based on how much money I have, rather than living from your passion, your dream, your internal vision, and that
Absolutely.
Voice and calling inside, that intuition.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because like, I hate to use her as an example, I won't even get into why, but, you know, Mother Teresa made such a huge impact on the world, and it's not because she worked a 60-hour job for 20 years to save up the money to be able to go help people. It's because she decided to help people. And she went and did that, and then people helped her help people. So when you're clear on what you want to do and you're willing to tell people about it, people will actually give you, it's not always money, they'll give you resources to be able to do the things you want to do. People will give you airline miles. People will give you tips or tricks or tools that they know of how to do things with less money. There's a lot of things that'll go on when you're willing to say, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do, and you talk to people about it. It gives the universe and God the opportunity to help you. And that will not happen if you say to yourself first, I don't have the money, I can't.
I love what you're saying. Some of this I'm going to need to listen to again, even though it's something that, you know, I already know and we all already know inside. I so often fall into the trap that you're describing. So how do we prevent that from happening? Just saying, this is what I want to do, and then going forward and doing it and not thinking about the money?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of ties together with a lot of what we've been talking about so far. Your power in being able to create the life you want and being able to create money is based on your willingness to look at where you are right now, to stop with the avoidance and the checking out and the hiding, and really get engaged with where am I, what's actually happening. And then you have to be willing to step past fear and do something different, which goes back to the money insanity thing we were talking about earlier. If you keep doing the same things, you're going to get the same results. So until you're willing to stop and say, okay, I have to do something different, it doesn't give you the latitude to make those kind of changes in your life. So that's really the next critical step. And another thing I want to say is, a lot of the money gurus act as if there's one solution for everyone. Everyone should be debt-free. Everyone should blah, 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 blah. There's, you know, you should save X percentage of your money. Your retirement funds should be allocated this way. People are different. They have different issues with money. They have different goals. They have different needs. And you need to know what your issues are to avoid making those same money insanity choices that you make. And so that really goes back to the being willing to look at where you're at and being willing to actually be honest with yourself about where you're at. And sometimes some help with that could be good because it's a little challenging to see our own flaws. And having some feedback from someone else about what it is that you do regularly in that sense in terms of money and what your challenges are will help you make different decisions. And the bottom line is you have to do something different. If you're the kind of person who hoards money and it makes you miserable, then you need to stop hoarding money. If you're the kind of person who goes out and runs up your credit card bills until they stress you out past reason, then you need to stop running up your credit card bills. If you're a compulsive shopper and you shop, you need to stop shopping. So it doesn't do any good for some guru to tell us, hey, everyone should have no debt. Well, if you're not the kind of person who has a debt problem, that doesn't help you. You know, so it's really important for us all to take the time to connect with ourselves about what we're doing and what's going on with us. And then be willing to communicate about it. Like I said, you know, one of the baseline things that's happening a lot right now is people are getting into situations where they have a commitment that they can't pay on time. And it's amazing how much people will work with you if you will just pick up the phone, dial the number, and tell them, I can't pay this right now. Now what? They'll have an answer because you're not the only person who said that to them.
I have run into this a lot. There's a friend that I have who I love dearly, brilliant, brilliant woman, but I've noticed with money that when it comes to, like, say, returning an item, that she won't want to deal with it, so she'll just let it sit there until it's too late. Or somebody overcharged for something, she won't want to deal with it, and so she just lets it sit there. Or going to be late on something, won't communicate, and so gets more serious consequences. And I've wanted many times to be able to help her with that, and she hasn't asked for my help, and she doesn't want to talk about it and doesn't want anyone to know about that. So I guess if someone was going to go to you, they would obviously be ready to talk about their financial issues. So if you have someone who, let's say, has a scenario somewhat like that, where would you start?
I would start off with talking about whatever challenges you're having personally. And talk about yourself first. That really opens up room and space for people to be more vulnerable when they realize you're not going to judge them because you're having a problem.
And
there is a risk in that because they may judge you. There's a reason we're all going around worrying about people judging us. It's because we do it. You know, I'm not trying to act like, oh, it's all fluff and butterflies and everything's fine and everyone's going to love you no matter what you say. Not so much. You know? So it's having that moment of, I care about this person enough that I'm willing to risk what they might say to me to start this conversation so that I may be able to help them be willing to look at something or not, you know? And that's really what I mean about, you know, this conversation has to change in our society of the way we interact with money, where we're not willing to talk to each other, because if we can't talk to each other, we can't help each other.
Yeah, it's interesting. This has been the one, I mean, she and I talk about everything and anything, but this one topic is like the forbidden topic that she doesn't ever want to talk about. And I always feel badly because I see her getting all these extra bills and financial consequences from not, you know, dealing with it, and then it's hard to ever get caught up, you know.
But, yeah, there's all sorts of really cool things that people have available. Some of my clients have gotten really nice deals on their credit cards, really nice payment plans on their electric bills. There's all sorts of cool stuff out there. And the other thing is being persistent and being willing to continue the conversation when it looks like it's not helping. And it sounds a little weird, but the cool thing about big companies, you can hang up the phone and call back and get a different person with a different answer.
Yes, I have noticed that. That is very, very true.
So, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm stuck in a position, you call someone, you say, hey, I'm stuck, how can you help me? And they're like, yeah, you can pay me the whole thing today. You're like, that's great. Let me think about that. And you get off the phone and you dial the number again, and the next person you get probably won't say the same thing. And even if they do, like the 17th time, you might get someone who says something different.
You can ask for a supervisor.
I mean, there's so much to do, but you have to be willing to be uncomfortable and do something different.
Absolutely. Well, before we take our third break here, Tim, can you give your contact information one more time for our listeners?
Sure, no problem. I'm at email address wealth@moneycourage.com, and that's my website, moneycourage.com. Love to have you stop by.
Okay, moneycourage.com. I really encourage everyone to check that out. This is Opening to Ecstasy, live with Lynette. We're going on a quick break, and when we return, Tim will share an on-air giveaway to start your financial healing. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.
Lynette is on a mission to raise the resonance of the listeners, inspire them to heal their wounds, and live their passion. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, radio for your body and soul, features renowned healers, teachers, and change agents who are leading the way in advanced thought in the areas of sex, spirit, finding your purpose, living your passion, and befriending your body. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, radio for your body and soul will enliven you, give you hope, expand your mind, and put the sparkle in your eyes. This talk radio show addresses serious issues while remaining lighthearted and fun. Lynette is masterful at combining humor and energy-raising techniques to give listeners an instant energetic boost and a heartfelt smile. If you're ready to open to ecstasy and expand your mind, tune in, tune on, and get live with Lynette. Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, go to OpeningToEcstasy.com or OpenLiveNow.com.
Discover why researchers are investing time and money in an attempt to explain these unprecedented healings and how you too can master this extraordinary work. Reconnective healing is a globally recognized new level of healing and has been taught to more than 60,000 people in more than 60 countries. Discover your ability to heal November 6th and 7th in Seattle with Reconnective Healing instructor Christine Upchurch. These events will teach you how to utilize this new spectrum of healing frequencies that allows us to access a level of healing beyond anything you've read about, thought about, or dreamed about. To register for the Reconnective Healing events in Seattle, visit thereconnection.com.
Discover why researchers are investing time and money in an attempt to explain reconnective healing and how you too can master this extraordinary work. Reconnective healing is a globally recognized new level of healing and has been documented in 6 books to date. Join Eric Pearl in Los Angeles for the Level 1 and 2 Reconnective Healing Seminar, October 1st through the 3rd. These seminars will teach you mastery beyond anything you've ever read about, thought about, or dreamed about. To register, visit thereconnection.com.
Welcome to Rubenesque Yoga. We offer yoga classes at retreats that focus on relaxation and rejuvenation. You do not need to be a marathon runner or bend like a pretzel to attend our classes. Rubenesque Yoga's retreats are held at the beautiful Wild Iris Inn located in Lacana, Washington, where you will enjoy a weekend of relaxation, yoga, and shopping. Please visit yogaforplussizes.com for more information. That's yogaforplussizes.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Opening to Ecstasy Live with Lynette. I'm your host, Lynette McKenzie, and we've been talking today with financial healer Tim Covey. She's been reminding us that money's a tool. Don't waste your life focusing on it because money doesn't matter. You do. So could you recap for us some of the main points, some of the most important points that you're speaking about? I found myself wanting to hear more, wanting to sink in a little bit more. Money is an issue for me where I haven't, I fit into some of the characteristics that you said of, like, you know, avoidance, all of that. So I'm going, okay, I'm taking on a new way of being. I don't want to avoid it. And I'm all ears. I'm totally open. If you can just say just some of the main points over again.
The main things to remember are that repeating your past habits will not work. You get to do something different, and when you do different things, you're going to get different results. And it's a process, so you're going to kind of need to work through it and be gentle with yourself. And investigate the possibility that you could stop judging yourself. That would be useful. And really, just be willing to be different. Be willing to be engaged with your numbers. Be willing to talk about your numbers. Be willing to pay attention to what's going on with you and what your reactions are. And realize that you're a unique individual and that every guru who's talking is not necessarily going to provide the most useful solution for you. And it's your responsibility to know yourself, know your situation, and make your choices accordingly. And that when you're actually engaged with your money, it stops being an issue. It stops being this pressing urgency that's going on in your mind all of the time. And that's when you can start to use money as a tool. And you won't be focusing on it so much.
And so you're saying really that important. When instead of avoiding money, you actually face it head on, you sit down, you know your financial situation, and you're dealing with it, you're communicating with people about it, that then it's not going to be in the back of your mind kind of dragging you down?
No, because you know where you are, you know what's happening, you've actually, action really does goes a long way to relieving inner burden. When you have a burden and you take action towards it and you see a progress step, it there's a relief that comes with that. If you have a bill that's been bothering you, and you don't know how to pay it, and you get someone to say, hey, you only have to give me $100 today, and we'll break up the payments over the next 9 months, that relief allows you to go, ah, and that's probably not your only money issue, but it'll give you more breathing room. And as you actually deal with all of the issues on your plate, that process will happen over and over and over again, where the relief will continue to increase and that burden of worry and stress will come down a notch and come down a notch and come down a notch until you're not worried and stressed about it because you know what's going on, you've gotten solutions worked out, or you're realizing, hey, I can actually solve this. Because the first five or six times when you get things worked out, then you're like, well, something else comes up, and you're like, well, I've solved other things before. I don't know how to solve this. I don't know what the solution is, but I'm pretty confident that I can work it out because you've been doing it already. That changes the dynamic completely.
Yes, whereas if you've just been in denial about it or avoidance about it, it just becomes one more thing to add to the drawer that you're stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Drawers get really hard to keep closed when there's so much stuff in there.
Yeah, and the problem is we don't just leave things in the drawer. We carry them around in our energy bodies.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then when we have that burden, then we attract more burden.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. If we have more relief, we attract more relief. So.
Yeah, and so really the thing that I would suggest, bottom line, is be willing to think, there's a solution somewhere for this, even if I don't know what it is yet, it'll show up. And if you're going to think about money all day, day in and day out, please think about solutions.
Wonderful advice. So could you tell the listeners about the free gift that you have for them today?
Sure. I have a book called Five Simple Secrets to Living Without Money Stress. It's an ebook that's available on my website, and you can get to that by going to moneycourage.com/live. It's an offer I'm making on this call. And I really encourage you to stop by, get a copy of it, take a look at it, and see what you can do differently, where you can stop repeating your patterns. Because it's just really important to me that people change the way that they're relating to money and give themselves the space to breathe and to be and to dream and to live the way they want. Because the bottom line is money doesn't matter. You do.
Wonderful. So it was moneycourage.com/live?
Correct.
And that'll take them to Five Simple Secrets to Living Without Money Stress.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So,
and you know, if you read that and you have any questions and you're having an issue about something in there, please email me. I'd love to hear from you.
And again, that's wealth@moneycourage.com if you want to email the Tim. So for the listeners who need financial healing, would emailing you be the best way for them to contact you if they wanted to work with you?
Yep. I'm an internet junkie. Email is always the best thing to do.
What sort of options are available in working with you?
I have some group calls where we, shockingly enough, communicate and talk about money. And so I would say that's probably the best bet for people to get involved in. It's twice a month for an hour and a half, and I keep the groups really small so that we can actually talk to everyone. I don't like taking people's money so they can listen to me talk with other people instead of actually working with them. So I like to have one-on-one time with people because, like I said, to me, while there's lots of similarities of situation, everyone's different. They have their own unique situations and challenges that came out of their individual and special lives. And, you know, money's scary. So it's kind of something that people really deserve to have personal attention on.
When you say money's scary, you mean it's an issue that we use to scare ourselves?
Yeah.
Because when you spoke about money, you were basically saying that money isn't
really
scary.
Money itself isn't scary. The prospect of being vulnerable and honest about it is.
Got it. Are you finding on these calls that people are feeling comfortable to open up and make progress?
Yeah, I mean, originally I wasn't even planning on doing calls like that because I was thinking, really, who's going to want to talk about their stuff in front of other people? You know, but I actually created that as a result of a request. And then once I got a request and bounced it around and said, you know, asked other people, do you want this? They're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. I'm like, okay, cool. I had no idea. Sounds good. I mean, I think it's what people need, but I didn't think anyone would want to do it. But they definitely they do, and they get good results, and they're very happy with it. So,
yes, I can see there'd be an extra layer of healing, not only getting your expertise and your perspective and the energy that you're putting into it, but then, you know, airing their quote-unquote dirty laundry and seeing that it's not some big ugly secret, that it's something that they can deal with.
Yeah, and there's the added benefit of getting to see how many other people have dirty laundry, too. It's not just you. There's not something wrong with you. Everyone's having issues.
So you can do your laundry together.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a little happy cleaning session.
Wonderful. So as we're coming to the end, what would you like to leave people with?
You matter. Your life matters. What you want matters. You know, having the life you deserve to have matters, because when you're happy and when you're getting what you want in life, you're going to treat people around you better. And if everybody on the planet was happy and getting what they wanted, I think we'd live in a much different place. And I'd love to see that place. So please go out and be nice to yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Atim. This has been
really great.
If you'd like to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. You can go to my website, openlivenow.com. All my info is on the contact page, and you can link with me on Facebook and Twitter. For those interested in a channeling, healing, or body story session, you can apply for a free 15-minute session with me on my site. Be sure to download your free energy emergency toolkit. That's also on my site, openlivenow.com. I want to thank my fabulous guest today, Atim Kavi, for sharing her money wisdom, and I want to thank all of you for tuning into Opening to Ecstasy. I appreciate each and every one of you. Please join me every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, and 2 Pacific. Next week on Opening to Ecstasy, entrepreneurial goddess Anastasia Nitri will be sharing something special. You don't want to miss this. I'll meet you here again next week. Many blessings.
You've been listening to Opening to Ecstasy, live with Lynette, radio for your body and soul. Tune in each Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more of Opening to Ecstasy, live with Lynette. Contact Lynette at OpeningToEcstasy.com or OpenLiveNow.com or call 541-982-2707. That's 541-982-2707.